So the burden that Eliezer was carrying was this oath that he had made to his master, Abraham. And he loads 10 camels with various riches, and he sets off for this trek across the land, going up towards the Euphrates River and up towards the area of Aram Paranan, where the family of Abram's brother had settled. And he comes to the village where the family lived. And there he asks and prays for God's guidance. And he gives God instructions as to what it is that will convince him that he's got the right woman. He says, if I ask this, you know, when one of these women coming from the village comes here, if I ask her to give me some water, she will, and she will also offer to water my camels. 10 camels. That must have been a lot of water. So he goes, as soon as he's finished his praying, he has the camels kneeling down there, and he looks up, and who does he see but Rebecca? Rebecca coming down to fetch water for her family in the village. And he approaches her and asks her for a drink. And sure enough, she promptly takes her jar of water off her shoulder and holds it to him, and he drinks. And she says, and I'll water your camels too. And she does. And so suddenly the burden that Eliezer has been carried is completely lifted as he realizes this is the woman God has already chosen to be the wife of Isaac. And the passage that we heard read today then is Eliezer's explanation to Rebecca's brother and father about what has happened and why has she got this very wealthy jewelry on her arms and in her nose. And so they realize that this is indeed God at work, and they agree that she may go and become the mother, become the wife of Isaac. And but they want her to stay for, you know, well, let's have a 10-day sort of festival to say goodbyes. But the Eliezer says, oh, no way. No, I've got to start back right now. And they finally agree to that. They check with Rebecca and say, now, look, first, will you marry this guy, sight unseen? Are you willing to go with this servant and travel all that distance and become part of that family? And Rebecca says, yes. It's a wonderful story. So I would suggest reading the passage there in Genesis that we heard read, but also reading the passages before and then just following, and so that you'll get the whole picture of what happened and how Eliezer had a burden, but God lifted it off his shoulders. God had prepared the way, and he was set free from his oath because he was able to accomplish it. Well, that was the first one that I read. And then I read Psalm 45. And I wondered, why did the committee who set the lections, in other words, the readings for our Sunday services, choose this psalm to be read today? Because it's a psalm which is written for a wedding. It's a psalm which describes the festivities that are going on in a palace as things are being prepared and as people are gathering to give thanks and praise for the marriage of the king and a princess who is going to be his wife. And it's all very wonderful and joyful. And it is indeed something that one would feel, oh, there's no burden there, but there is. The wife, the young princess, had the same anxieties that any woman going to be married has prior to being married. A concern about the future. What will it be like? How will this man treat me? What's going to happen? She had that burden. But then the joy of being married and the fulfilling of the expectations as time goes on begins to lift that burden. Now, unfortunately, I did a little bit of research on this psalm and discovered that in one of the commentaries, this particular psalm was written for the marriage of Ahab, who was king of Israel, the northern part of Israel. He lived in Samaria, and he married the princess of Tyre, and her name was Jezebel. And that was not exactly a happy situation for the people of Israel or for Ahab or for Jezebel. Because in the psalm, there was one line that could have helped resolve this in a very positive way if Jezebel had been listening and had been willing to follow that advice. And the line was the first line that we read from Psalm 45, verse 11. Hear, O daughter, consider and listen closely. Forget your people and your father's house. Well, Jezebel came from Tyre, which was not a part of Israel. Tyre was a different country, in a different country on the coastline, and the religions there were pagan religions. And she was a follower of the pagan god Baal. And she brought that with her. She did not forget her people, her father's house, what she had grown up with. She was not willing to learn what it meant to be a part of the children of Israel. And her life and the life of her husband, Ahab, and the life of the country that they ruled was not a happy life. Their burden was not lifted because they decided to neglect the worship of the one true God and instead worship idols. So that psalm was a bit of a downer. And then I went on to look at the reading from Romans. And in Romans, we have one of those passages where where Paul is he's trying to balance his ancestry, his father's house, his commitment as a child of Israel. He's trying to balance what he learned as a child regarding the Ten Commandments and what he learned as a student being schooled in the way of being a Pharisee, so that he would understand the scriptures and the law and be able to teach others. He's trying to balance all that with the fact that he has in his life experienced continuous temptations, which sometimes had resulted in sin. And he found that very difficult because it had continued even though he had met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and in that moment had given his life to Jesus. And in that moment, his past had been forgiven. And yet, he discovered that that did not mean that he was therefore uninterested in being tempted. He found that he was still interested in being tempted from time to time. And he was struggling in this reading to say, okay, the law is good because it helps me to understand what is not in God's wishes for me. But whenever I look and study the law, I immediately begin to think about some temptation that the law is trying to guard me against. And I want to follow that temptation. And I'm caught in this conundrum. I don't want to do it, but I'm being tempted to do it. And yet, because I have given my life to Jesus and been baptized, I know that I'm now a new person and that I live in Christ. Christ is in me and I am in Christ. And therefore, this temptation has no power over me. I don't have to give into it. It doesn't matter that the temptation is there, because Christ in me will protect and push that away. I can say to my Savior, I really don't want that. Please take that away. And he will. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ that I have and can be saved. His burden was lifted. And so Paul is trying to share with the Christians in Rome that, yes, the law is good because God gave it. But evil, he twists the law just a little bit to make it seem that something that is not good is good. A conundrum we all live with, I think, more often than we like. But we know that the burden can be lifted, that Christ in us and us in Christ can take that away. We do not have to give in. And that comes next to Matthew's gospel, where Jesus is on a hillside talking to a crowd of people, and along come some disciples from John the Baptist, his cousin. And they want to know, they've been sent by John to ask, well, now, are you really the one we've been looking for? Or should we be looking for somebody else? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus explains to the questioners, well, you look around, you can see what I'm doing. I'm healing the sick, I'm raising the dead, I'm doing all sorts of wonderful, powerful miracles. And it's because God is here. God is working through me to bring new life. Indeed, even those who are poor are hearing the good news of God's love. They are experiencing a fullness of life that they haven't had before. That all the thoughts and pressures that society had put on to them, that they were no good and of little worth, are being lifted and taken away because the kingdom of God is unfolding through the Messiah, through the presence of Christ with us. And as those disciples then go back to report to John, to and to his disciples, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. Today, in this pandemic world, we have things which we carry that are burdensome. We have worries, concerns about ourselves, concerns about our family, concerns about others. And so we bring them to Christ in prayer. And we lay them at the foot of the cross, asking that he will follow them up in doing whatever can be done and needs to be done for the welfare of those that we bring to him. And so we continue to follow and to accept Jesus's invitation to come to him and to find the rest that we seek, that we may indeed have a life that is abundant and that is filled with joy. Put my yoke upon you, for it is light and easy, Jesus says. In taking away burdens, we are not left in a vacuum. But Jesus gives us something positive, challenging, interesting, fulfilling to do in his name, so that our life may be one of service to others and in service to him, and through him to God the Father. May it be so. Amen.